Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Mouse Jones.
I'm Nat Wilds.
I'm Fly Ra.
And we are...
Welcome back. Hope everybody enjoyed their weekend. Welcome back. It's another Monday. You are with who? Your favorite big cousins in the gorgeous guys next door.
Whoa.
That is us.
That is us.
So make sure you guys are, make sure you guys ain't being no thieves. You know, I really hate, you know, if I may, Mac, Ryan, may I invite my uncle downstairs real fast?
Please talk to him.
I just want to put on thine spirit this Monday morning.
Hey.
Okay.
Hallelujah. That the neighbors who congregate come over and eat for free, come over and listen to our business. You're in our business. Don't do that. Y'all are in our business.
Don't do that.
Y'all are in men's business. And we don't ask for anything. That's why we have nothing. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. So we are asking on behalf of my three nephews that you begin to take your trifling ass over to the Patreon and you subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/guysnextdoor. Put a little something in the collection plate. These boys, they're growing boys. They have children. They have bills. Ryan has a compulsion to be in the strip club and throw lots of monies. This is something that needs to be replenished. Amen. The cup shall run over. Amen. That's what I want to say. I will give it back to my nephews, Mouse, Mac, and Ryan, as I exit the house next door. Amen. Amen.
Yes, love.
Uncle always trying to throw me under the bus.
Damn.
Make sure y'all are subscribed to the Patreon. It's patreon.com/guysnextdoor. We want to get rid of the spirit of the Hakeem Campbell, the Kimmy Gibbler, that mooching spirit. We want to get rid of it. So make sure y'all are, you know, putting a little snaps on the petrol. Y'all literally get two episodes for the price of none.
Yes.
Literally two. You get two. You get us on Monday and you get us on Thursday. And we ask that you
pay I was going to say, you know, Jesus. It says in the Bible that the Lord loves a cheerful giver.
A cheerful giver. Please. That's what he said.
Not just a giver, a cheerful one.
Oh, wait. I'm coming back. See, it says in the Bible, it speaks about bringing ye tithe to the storehouse. See, now, if you look at the text and you see the text says house. See, that's the first time the Bible speaks about the house. And where is the house? You can only have a house if it's where? Next door. Who's next door? The guy.
Yes,
see, if you're listening, you won't have to listen any longer. See, if you bring the tithes to the storehouse next door, you'll see there's three brothers living in the house. It's Mac, Mouse, and Ryan. See, the Bible speaks about Meshach and Abednego, the three boys who entered the furnace. See, they don't want to hear the story.
All right, Unc.
Shout out about yourself.
Let me get out of here. Make sure you guys are tuned in. Also, make sure you are following us on all social media platforms. It's very simple, Guys Next Door Pod. And if you got a letter that you want us to read on air, you know how it goes, but we'll tell you later on, okay? Because we're going to stop saying this shit up front because y'all niggas start writing letters and then forget to listen to the rest of the episode, okay? All right, just make sure y'all tune in on Thursday, okay? We'll see you on Thursday for the Nosy Neighbors episode. Now, let's get into... why we're here today, this Monday. Mm-hmm. Listen, we always said here at Guys Next Door that it was always bigger than us. You know, we always want to be able to help tell stories that maybe the community has not heard. So we've been able to do that with Santana Raymond of the Central Park, of the now the Exonerated Five.
Exonerated,
We was able to do that with our good brother, Corey. I'm losing his name. What was his name? Hold on. We was able to do that with our good brother, Will Little, who was able to talk about forgiveness and things that happened in Philly. So we continue to do that. You know, the community needs to hear these stories. So today's no different. You know, today you won't hear us being as ignorant as typical. You know, we got a special story to help tell. Today we are joined by Nicole Bell, the wife of Sean Bell, who was slain now 14 years ago. So, you know, we're going to bring her next door and, you know, she's going to be able to, you know, tell her story and speak into not only what happened, but also, you know, how what has changed, what hasn't changed, and what we could do together as a community, because all three of us are from New York. So, you know, this really touches. Mm-hmm. I know how old we all were when this happened. I know it hit home for a lot of us. So with no further ado, Nicole Bell, welcome to the crib. How are you?
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hey y'all, thank you so much. Thank y'all for having me. I'm really good. I mean, I can't even, you know, deny that. I can't complain. You know, I mean, it's been a while, you know, been out here in these streets, but it's important. It's important for people who look like us, you know, whether you get it or not. You know, I think over the years I've ran across so many different types of people who don't understand, you know, like, what's the point of even speaking out? Nothing's going to change, you know, that type of vibe. And for me, it really, you know, it goes without saying, you know, I lost Sean on my wedding day, what was supposed to be my wedding day. And like, there's been a lot of years where I've sat, because it's been 14 years now, like this November just made 14 years. Mm-hmm. So for years, it's been really about fighting for justice for Sean, but then it became, you know, sort of like a bigger picture, not just fighting for him, but seeing how our people are really being disrespected and nothing's being done. You know, not much is changed, but it's really the fact of shining the light on these situations so we can bring them to light, so we can start talking about them and really moving towards that change that we're trying to get.
Is there ever a fatigue in telling this story? Does it ever get tiring? You know, because it's pretty traumatic. So does it ever get tiring having to, you know, relive what should have been the most beautiful day in your life, but, you know, which turned into probably one of the most tragic days of your life?
Yeah, it absolutely does. I mean, like 14 years, who wouldn't, you know, who wouldn't? I mean, for me, it's most importantly that my daughters grow to really understand what happened to their dad was wrong, but mommy didn't just sit down and just take whatever they gave to me. You know, it's and that's really the energy that you have to have in life. Like this year in 2020, we've all experienced like hell, you know, going through this pandemic. Some people have flourished, you know, other people have struggled, but you've had to kind of find your level, you know. And for me, that's really what it was. Like my world was shattered upside down. I had two babies on my wedding day. You know, Sean was celebrating his bachelor party at a strip club in Jamaica, Queens. There was an investigation going on at that club that had nothing to do with Sean and his friends, but they became the victims. You know, that night they became the victims. These undercover cops who were investigating that club, you know, found necessary to follow Sean and his friends back to their car. And it was just a mess. 50 shots were fired. Sean was killed. And this was hours before my wedding day. Joe was shot 17 times. Trent was shot 4 times. Like, it not only really affected my family, but it caused a big mistrust with the community and the police department, the way it was handled, period. The fact that there was no justice, the fact that, you know, they turned the victims into the criminals, you know, they tried to throw everything they could at Sean and his friends to try and make them look bad, to try and dirty them up, which is a tactic that they do for every single victim. It gets exhausting. I take my breaks. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, there are times when you probably, if you're from New York, I'm sure you maybe you've heard of the story. You've heard maybe of some of the activism that I've done. But there are times when I have to take a seat. There are times when I can't show up to the protest because I have to raise, you know, my daughters. I have to try and just, you know, take care of myself, my mental health, you know, my well-being, the well-being of my daughters. When I'm down, they can see it. And I don't want to raise my girls to be that way.
How do you actively not allow this, you and your daughters' lives to be marked by this tragedy, right? Like, how do y'all live in spite of this tragedy?
On a daily basis, everybody, you know, lives their lives. You know, we go to work, the kids go to school, and we are living normal lives just like everyone else. You know, when there is a tragedy, a lot of times we are, the story's brought up again. And that's when the conversations have to happen, like at home. That's when, you know, my oldest daughter, she just started her first year of college virtually. She's supposed to be in the Thank you. Yes. Congratulations to the entire class of 2020. She was supposed to start at HBCU. Well, she did start at HBCU, but she's virtually, she's home virtually, so she's not getting.
What HBCU did she go to?
Virginia State.
Hey.
Yeah, so she's here, she's there, but she's virtually. She's supposed to be on campus, but you know, because of the pandemic, they sort of, you know, stopped all of that. But we're still keeping in good spirits. So when someone, you know, there's another tragedy and it's public, and people are protesting, the story comes back up. And it gets, that's when it really hits home, because now, you know, potentially maybe someone who didn't realize that this was Sean's daughter now realizes, oh, wait a minute, I think I just saw a picture of you on the internet, you know, and that has happened. So it's, you know, it doesn't, you never get used to it. It's just a constant communication and dialogue that never ends, really.
Well, I'm so happy you did agree to do this. Because I remember I had wanted to reach out like last year, and I was like, man, this lady probably don't want to be bothered. She don't want to tell the story. And I'm like, but I think it's something, like I said, us just being from New York, and like I said, we're 31 years old. So 14 years ago, we were what? We were in high school. You know what I'm saying? Like, 16, I remember 16. Seeing it on News 12. It definitely, you know, I mean, growing up, we seen Adna Luwema, we seen Amadou Diallo, but Sean Bell was like, we was like, oh, that could have been any of us.
It right? really could have. You know, that was Sean, the closest was only thing. 23.
Yeah, that was the closest thing to our age happened, especially New York-wise. That was the closest thing at the age that we were to where we were becoming and going. Yeah.
Because, like, you 16, you figure, like, oh, I'm about to be a strip club in 2 years. Anyway, it's about to be lit.
If you wasn't there already.
And I'm from Long Island. I was like 20 minutes away. Mac from Staten and Ryan from Brooklyn. Like, it was right there. It was all so touchy. So I was like, when I hit you last, I was like, man, I'm gonna just reach out. She say no, you know. But I was so happy you decided to do it. But this is the guy next door, and you know, we do believe in, you know, trying to, you know, see the humanness, the human side of all these stories, right?
Because
we always talk about the tragedy. But I was thinking a little different, right? I want to talk about the love story. Right. I want to talk about. So how did you and Sean meet?
So that's a good question. We met in high school. So in Jamaica, Queens, we're both from Jamaica, Queens. So we went to John Adams High School, which is on Rockaway Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Sean played baseball, which was different. You know, most of the guys in the neighborhood played basketball or football. And for him to play baseball, it was just really different.
I read he was nice.
He was
a pitcher? He was a pitcher, correct?
Yeah,
he was. I heard he did his thing.
Man, he was, and I really wasn't into it, but I became into it, you know. once I started, you know, we started really, you know, talking. Then at that point, it was like, okay, I gotta know what this is about. Like, what is that? So, he kind of like just walked up to me one day in school, and you know, like high school, bought a locker, and we started a conversation, and from that day on, we just kind of like stuck together like glue.
Now, respectfully, what? Give me a year on this. Give me a year. Give me a year on this. So we could get, you know, so we could really get.
I need the music in the background. Yeah,
I want to know how this look. How smooth was this? was you outside by the bus stop sucking on a lollipop? What is hard? How to stop?
Now let me tell you. Listen, if anyone could tell you, back in those days, like. You probably knew about me in that school. I was really one of those girls who was like stuck to herself, really bought to myself. But you know, the girls who are to themselves get the reputation of being stuck up. I was never stuck up. I was one of the cool girls who just kind of moved to my own, you know, tune. Mm-hmm. And he was shy. So like really one day I was I had on like a really fly outfit. I can picture it. But he came up to me and he was like, wow, you know, I like those pants. And
you had on some parasucos?
I did not have on parasucos. We were not that far back.
You see how I was trying to sneak it? Because she wouldn't say, so I'm trying to, yeah. It was either parasucos or some Jabos.
Listen, we are not that far apart.
Might have been an early Rockaway. Might have been a Rockaway.
It could have been a velour.
They were like some snakeskin guest pants or something like that. Like they really were.
I know
it may not sound fire now, but trust me,
it sounds so fire.
You gotta remember,
we from New York. We from New York. That sounded so fire.
Yeah, you gotta remember, we from New York. So yeah, as soon as you said that, I'm thinking of like when Kim and Fox used to wear
exactly. Yeah. And Foxy is my girl. Give a shout out low to Foxy. Key, that's
she probably
sister.
Had the, yeah, she probably had the snakeskin Jordans on too. Remember them, Jones?
Yeah, the 11s?
You had on the low top 11s?
Let me tell you, I had every pair of Jordans, but with that outfit, I did not have on.
She didn't want to snakeskin it down to the toe. I get it.
I did. You see, I was from Queens. We had a different type of swag in Queens. That's more like Brooklyn, Harlem.
Let's not do this. Not today.
I'm glad you said that. Let's take a pause and let's break that. Let's unpack this, right?
That's so different. Yeah.
Exactly right. So Queens is right now, right? You know, for right now, Queens is being heralded as the worst dressed borough.
By who? Somebody from Brooklyn or Harlem?
Chill out. We just talk. I just want to talk to you. That's it. Like, nothing against your backyard.
I just
want to
know the facts. I'm a person who's about statistics. I need to know the facts.
There's a lot of Brooklyn leaning people. A lot of uptown. Well, I don't trust Harlem. I don't trust their dressing anyway. But you know, a lot of good fly people from Brooklyn and you know from the surrounding areas. They say right now because y'all had the zippers. You remember y'all went through a time where y'all just had a lot of zippers on things for no reason. It was like, why so many zippers? There's no need for zippers.
It's also Queens. Don't worry about
it. That wasn't a Queens thing. That wasn't. We're not claiming that.
Tony Yayo. It was Yayo was out there with mad zippers.
That was a Yayo thing. That was not a Queens thing.
All right, bet. Cool. So what was the style for Queens at this time? Because if you backing out the snakeskin in high school to guest snake, first of all, what job did you have? That's what I was. What job was you working?
I worked at Foot Action in Roosevelt Field Mall.
Dangerous mall. That's how she had all the kicks. That's how she had all of
that's how I knew about the dates. You got to know when it comes out. That's really what it was about.
That's in the back of the magazine, the East Bay. It come out like that. I know what times you're talking about.
Very, very, very good times in Roosevelt Field Mall. Very good legendary things took place there.
Yeah. A lot of people used to pop in, you know, to the store. For me, that was like the best job. In high school, you couldn't have had a better job than working at, you know, Foot Action or Foot Locker or something on that order. That was what we were about. You know, we really were about getting dressed. The guys were wearing like jerseys and jeans.
I wonder where they got that from.
F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S.
Oh, CC 50 and G-Unit and them were wearing the jerseys and the fitty caps.
But they wasn't doing it right. They did it, but not like fad. It's all right. I get it, though.
I mean, that, but that's what Queens, like, that's what Queens
is. You're right.
So, you know, so I'm the music guy, right? So I want to, I got to hear the music. I got to hear the music in my head. So, like, if you had to put together maybe like a 3 to 5 song playlist of like what y'all first year was, like when y'all first met high school, y'all first date, all of that stuff. What were the songs that were playing? Give me the time so I could feel that time.
Yeah, I can.
I want to
build the picture.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate that question because I love music and I really associate a lot of things with music. There was like the Ja Rule Ashanti era. That was when Ja Rule and Ashanti, ooh, let's see, like What's Love, that song. I remember that was a big one.
That was good. I closed my eyes. I'm there. Okay.
I can see it. Let me think. It definitely was G-Unit, you know, from Queens. So I gotta bring up G-Unit.
Of course. You know, y'all get the money. That's what I hear.
Yeah, I was on dates listening to G-Unit.
He was serenading
the G-Unit Radio Part 3. What's going on?
That's a Queens love story.
No, listen, in high school, we probably would go back and forth with the lyrics. You know, that's really what it was back then.
I ain't gonna hold you because 50, I'm thinking about the timing. That's really around when 50 first album came out.
It was, yeah.
So,
and Sean was a big fan. Like, he was a really big fan on that. We went to, you know, Summer Jam. All the concerts. We was in, you know, Jay-Z's concert. Yeah, definitely Jay-Z. I think it was definitely the last concert we might have went to together was probably Fade to Black. I think that was that concert. Oh. Yeah.
That was my first concert. So yeah.
That was a night.
So that was the music. I mean, we're definitely heavy on. I mean, but Sean was, he was, you know, he had his R&B side too, like, you know, the Maxwell and who doesn't remember those tunes?
My nigga hit the Maxwell and then the snakeskin said goodbye. Okay.
Y'all remember that D'Angelo tune?
The Untitled?
Untitled. How does it get that one? That one. Yes.
My nigga said,
yeah, man.
They hold hands like this.
How does it feel?
That's a time though. That's a musical
time.
That was
a good time. That was a good time.
So what are the conversations like between y'all two? You know, y'all met in high school, just so super dope. Like I'm so envious of those stories, right? Like it almost sometimes, like I never have no regrets, but in high school I definitely wish I would have kind of like not been a knucklehead when it came to girls and kind of like focused in or zeroed in on somebody, you know what I mean? Because like I see how like all the people who had high school sweethearts, even if they're not together now, like niggas just got a different relationship with relationships and love that I don't have. Mm-hmm. So like, what are these conversations that you guys are having together in regards to love and relationships and things like as you, because y'all got together in high school. So what are these conversations like at the time?
Yeah, back then, I mean, it was, you know, so young. You just imagine what the future would be like, you know, try to plan and think about what you're going to do when you have, you know, when you have the money to do it, when you have the ability to do it. And, you know, right then we were in our parents' house. So, you know, he lived in Queens, I lived in Queens, but we were, you know, we would get together on school days, but we separated. So we would just imagine what it would be like. And he was really an athlete. Even though he played baseball, he just was a fan of overall sports. So he, you know, had, you know, pretty much a jersey for, you know, whatever team, you know, he was feeling.
Fire. Big Coliseum vibes.
Big Coliseum.
No, absolutely. Shout out to the Coliseum. Absolutely.
Gotta hit a Moe's. Gotta hit a Moe's downstairs.
Gotta go to Moe's. That's crazy.
You gotta go to Benny's downstairs. Play Benny a visit.
So my question is, like, I mean, from the sounds of it, it looks like he brought you into that sports world. Like, like you said, you wasn't into baseball. You probably was into other things like basketball, football, but that's just the natural thing is.
As not even. Is. I wasn't into any sports. I became into it.
so was that one of the reasons that you fell for that man, just because he introduced you to new things, as well as going into the point of when you knew that was the one? Like, because I know there's certain steps to getting there, of course, but when you finally know, like, that's the one, there's a certain feeling and there's a certain, it might have been a day of time, you knew what you was wearing, but you looked at him and was like, damn, this man has taught me so much in so little of time that this is the one. So when was, like, that time where you realized that?
That really was it, you know, and he was really, like, a protector. Like, he was, like, an overprotector. Like, he was always concerned, like, about, you know, my safety or, you know, making sure that everybody was good. And like I really can just remember him being more, you know, concerned that, you know, if anything, we've even had conversations, you know, where as we got older and had two daughters, you know, it's like, you know, if anything ever happened to me, you know, just make sure that my daughters are okay. And you know, I always thought that was a weird saying, like, who says that out of nowhere? You know, that has always played on me, you know, throughout the years. But you know, I just use it, you know, I use it as inspiration and motivation. But he was just that type of person.
You hear those stories a lot about, you know, the young kings that have died young, right? They always had that kind of thought process where it was very protective and it was very much like, you know, selfless, like, you know, if anything should ever happen to me, you know, you hear that all the time. You know, I got family that died young that I felt, you know, I'll pick up on those conversations after. Like, was that always a feeling, like, in his protection, like, just in case anything ever happened? Like, was he always on that?
He really was. And he always was surrounded by, you know, an older crowd. He was, like, the younger guy in the group. So he had an old soul. And I think a lot of that, you know, played into how he was, you know. And he went on, he played college, played baseball in college, and then he stopped playing and stopped going to school and really started focusing more on raising the family. And for me, like, I always came from a background of, like, education was first. So that was, like, a tough decision, you know, on us when he stopped going to school and just decided to, like, really focus on work and, you know, trying to, you know, make sure that everyone had what they needed. And you know, it was a team. We were a team. And and that was one of the biggest things I missed, you know, once everything happened.
Yeah. All right. So you know, again, it's always interesting hearing about like fresh new love, right? So
hold on, backstory to Mac. He has a high school sweetheart that's in his life right now. So his smile is much deeper than my smile and Mouse's smile, because me and Mouse is just two fuck ups. But
huge fuck ups.
I can call her my high school sweetheart, but I never really got a chance to go to high school. And I personally remember, again, me being a kid. I'm not in high school. Like I was outside of school to work and everything. I remember my first time, you know, going to DC, spending the weekend with her family, and you know, being completely nervous, like completely nervous, because I didn't know if her dad was gonna like me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if her mom was gonna like me. Her siblings are there, you know. So my question to you, I want you to bring us into the story of the first time that your parents and your family met them. Like, what was that like?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. My dad is Haitian. My mom is American. Ooh. Yeah. So even though my father is very, like, he's a very, I wouldn't say Americanized, you know, he came over to America when he was a young boy. So I was pretty much raised, as an American, you know, not really with much of that Haitian background, but it's still in his DNA because, boy, when, like, I first introduced him to Sean, I was young, I was in high school, so I had nerve even bringing him around, period. But I just remember the look in his eyes, you know, was like, you know, looked at Sean like, don't even try it. Don't try anything. I remember the look because I always had like a healthy fear of my father. Like, we have a great relationship, but I know not to cross a certain limit with him. My mom is, you know, she was always more like, you know, softer and more understanding. So we have a great relationship, able to communicate and talk about, you know, different things, talk about boys. So my mom was always more open, and my dad was really more like, you know, looking, giving him the side eye. Yeah, definitely.
What about the inverse? What about your in-laws? How was it the first time you met them? Because, you know, mamas don't play with their sons, especially in New York.
Oh, yeah. And Sean was a mama's boy. Wow. Oh, my God. So getting close to him, you gotta love mama, you know, regardless how you feel, you better put it aside, when you're dealing with a mama's boy. So, but she, they were always good. I had, we've had, you know, as in-laws, we've had like ups and downs, you know, personally. But you know, it's always nothing but love. Like, I've always had nothing but love for, his mother and father, but definitely that it's been like the in-law thing is real. I don't know if any of y'all have ever, you know,
Yeah, I already told you, we not shit. Me and Mouse, we don't even get to that level.
But don't forget, I told you that in-law thing is real.
I'm not gonna about to say, listen, I know.
Oh, yeah. You ain't got to, yeah, I know. My mother and my baby mother, they hate each other. And the craziest part, they the same person.
That happens a lot.
They really the same person. I'm like, yo, I don't get how y'all don't like each other. Y'all literally the same person. Like, I don't.
That's the reason why.
Y'all just love to tell me what to do. Y'all just want to tell me everything. It's always me. But y'all want to beef with each other. I don't get it.
They say, you know, you guys seek, you know, things, you know, traits that are familiar to you and your women, you know, that may come from your mom. So it's pretty much you guys are, like you said, having the same two women around, and that could sometimes, you know, be a little difficult sometimes.
Get a little tricky.
Everybody in those situations wants to be the number. I'm not going to say they want to, but some expectancy is number one. Your mother's like, I'm your number one. Your wife is going to be like, I'm your number one. But the real number one going to be your child. So that's when it really flips perspective. So when did you have your first child or your first daughter? Because you said you have two, right?
Yes, yes. And so I was a young mom. I was a teen mom. My first daughter I had at 18. So
shout out to you. You know, shout out to us for being teen parents. You feel me? I was 17. shout out to us holding it down.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
It's not easy. And thank God for like, you know, family. Thank God for my support team, because, you know, even there's been some times when, you know, I really had to depend and lean on, you know, my family. So especially, you know, being a young mom and then becoming a single mom, at that, that was like a double struggle for me. And right. I'm just so thankful, you know, I did have a lot of people in my corner. That's important, especially when you're going through things.
So how did y'all handle that, you and Sean? Because you said I loved it. You said y'all were a team, and we talk about that nonstop here. Like, we know we ain't the gurus, but we all three of us agree that, you know, we want team members, right? We want teammates, you know. So you guys were a team. How did y'all handle that as a team? How did y'all handle that first pregnancy, your first child? How did y'all handle that as a team? As teens.
Yeah, that was a tough choice. I mean, we were both like terrified, didn't know what to do, you know. What we had was like love for each other, and that was what we were holding on to, you know. We wanted to make it work, but we both were scared. Like, I don't know what to do, you know, I don't know how to do this. I thank God for my mother and father being able to step in and really, my mom just sort of showing me and guiding my hand along the way, because a lot of people don't have that support, you know? Right, so I thank God, you know, that I had, that, but it was a big decision. It really was a big decision, to have my first daughter at 18 years old. Sean was 19. And now my daughter is actually getting ready to turn 18. So it's just, you know, it's crazy how the years fly. But we were a team in every decision. You know, if this was, if it was, you know, if one side wasn't with it, we weren't with it. So we always made decisions together.
That's fire. Now, do you see yourself or Sean in your daughters?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jada, my oldest, is like a mirror reflection of her father. And then Jordan is just like me. So it's it's really funny. Jada has like his mood. She has his attitude. She even laughs like him. So sometimes, you know, I'll stare at her and then she knows what it is though. She, you know, she's got used to it. But it's just amazing, you know, being left with, you know, a gift, that gift, you know, being able to raise his children and our children and just, and having that piece of him that's left behind. It's really dope.
So yeah, this was, you know, the tragedy, it happened on y'all wedding day. I want to know, how was crazy that proposal? Like, did you know it was coming? Did y'all go holla at Benny? Was y'all in the Coliseum one day getting a nameplate and you just like started pointing at rings? Like, I need to know that part because I got married young, right? Married young. So I want to know, like, how was that for you? Like, what was that like?
So, I wasn't with him when he got the ring. It was, like a Christmas gift one year. I want to say it was before Jordan was born. So, Jordan was born, you know, the same year everything happened. It was, she was really small. But, after Jada, he proposed to me. One day we were in a restaurant and I was embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. He got down on one knee because I'm so private. Like before everything, all of this that has happened, I was just really shy and to myself, you know, not really outspoken much at all, besides to, you know, the people that were close to me. And, you know, being to myself was just something that was comfortable, you know? So having to mourn publicly was really taking me completely out of every element that I've ever been comfortable with, everything that I've ever known. You know, I got kind of thrown off what I was saying, but it was, overall, I remember the day he proposed. He got down on one knee at a restaurant and he, I was just, you know, like, can you get up, please? Can you get up? Just get up. And the crazy part about that was because he proposed and he didn't even have a ring.
Oh, he was just fire.
He didn't even have a ring.
But so he knew what he wanted.
I got the ring as a Christmas gift, as a surprise, like later on that year when Christmas came around. He had wrapped it in like a watch box. And when I opened it, it was a ring box and there was a ring inside. And I looked up and he was like, you know, like, I got it, you know. And
fire. And
he did go to Denny's to get the ring. I remember that. He did.
Why not know? One thing about Mouse Jones, he knows New York. Niggas not gonna tell me nothing. I know who's going to win.
That was the good old days.
I also need to know, did y'all have the light up name belts? I need to know because Queens is known for the light up name belts.
Wow.
The joints. You didn't go that crazy?
Mouse, that's not me. I didn't do the light up name belts.
Listen, no, it's so, I always wonder, you know, about, you know, you always see a couple, whether you're going to a wedding or you hear about a proposal, I always want to know, like, what's the thought process? Like, I kind of know the male thought process. I've been there. But I always want to know, like, what was going through a woman's mind? Because typically, I don't know what's happening, right? Like, you just sitting there, y'all probably eating. You remember where y'all was at? Or it was just regular eating and bow. Next thing you know, somebody on their knee proposing, trying to spend the rest of their life with you.
Yeah, I do remember. I remember exactly where we were at. I'm not gonna mention where we were either.
Listen, I understand you are sharing a lot with us today. So, you know,
whatever
you want to keep here, keep it there. I respect it.
Yeah, but it was a beautiful feeling. I mean, and I was just so young and just thinking I knew everything. you know, thought I had everything planned out, and life showed me different, you know, what sometimes what you have planned, you know, there's a bigger plan ahead, and you just really never know. And I just kind of took what life had given me, you know, sometimes life gives you lemons, you got to make lemonade. And that's exactly what, you know, I try to do and try to continue to keep his story, our story, you know, continue to help other people who go through it. It's a never ending struggle.
Mm. Now, me and like Ryan said, you know, me and him were born on the same day. We the same age. We're very alike. We like to do this in relationships.
They like to fight. They're disrespectful. They like to fight.
He's right. I enjoy a good little fight in my relationship. You know, Mac is more the crier type. You know, he gonna be like, you know.
Wow, hold on. Wait, what? What?
I said that out loud.
The crier type?
You said it, but you know what? Sometimes the truth may set you free, my brother.
Set you free. Wow. So I'm not gonna be held back by the lie. So I'm gonna tell the truth.
Are we friends?
We're brothers. We're brothers. So therefore I had to be honest, and you know.
I'll be real. Yes, we like confrontation. As I get older, I'm starting to realize that it's not for me. Reason be that I'm single, and after a while, you gotta look in the mirror. I have to look in the mirror and be like, "Yo, Ra, it might not be them. It might be you." So, thanks for that look, Mouse. Appreciate you. But being that said, like I know in all relationships, there's an arguing dynamic.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Can you tell us how y'all's situation was? Everybody goes through situations in their relationship a little different. Me and Mouse, we argue, and sometimes that's just our turn on in our situation, and that's what gets us going. Mac, he's sensitive a little bit. That's what it is. But in y'all, my fault, Mac. My fault. But ain't nothing wrong. But in y'all's situation, how was your arguing dynamic and how was your making up dynamic? Because both of those have to coincide or it does not work.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Sean was like a walker, so he didn't really like to argue at all. Like if something wasn't right, you know, I'm not the type that can really hold it, you know, too much. But listen, let me explain. Don't laugh yet.
I get you because you're talking to the same person.
I know how guys think about women, but let me tell you, I'm really very non-confrontational. Like, you know, if something's not right or if I don't like something, trust me, I've already probably thought about it, looked into it. So by the time I come to you, like I already have pretty much what I need. I'm just coming to you just to hear it from you. So that's always how I've been. Like, you know, I'm a researcher in everything. Like anything and everything. So
she's the CIA. AKA she's the CIA.
I got that.
I'm a good CIA because sometimes, you know, you find things and you just keep it because it's not worth, you know, it's not even worth like the struggle, the battle. It's not worth the argument that may come from it. You gotta learn to pick your battles in any relationship. And I'm one of those
I wish my girl knew that. Dang.
Look, I'm one of those people who believe in picking your battles. Sean was really a walker, though. Like, if there was something that we couldn't agree on, he would definitely go for a walk and try to come back when I feel, you know, when I'm more calm. in his words.
I can honestly see that. I'm a little of everything you said, because sometimes I don't know how to hold my tongue and I just say it. Like, I really don't care. But then there's a lot of situations where it's just like, you know what? I think, and I don't do it. I don't walk just so you get your head together. Sometimes I walk so your head gets even worse. So it's like, I just won't say nothing because I know in your head you thinking more than what it really is. And it's really nothing to me. But I know if I don't say anything, it's going to make you more tight. So I'm
sorry. What do you get from that part, though? A single man.
I have no girl.
Nothing.
Which is, I've told you, I started to look in the mirror. And I start to say, sometimes it's not them, it's me. And I'm growing and I'm becoming.
So are you happy with being a single man?
No, I'm not. That's what I'm trying to say. You don't got to put me in a
hole. We got to change that perspective.
I'm trying to figure this out. But I'm growing to figure it out. And I want to. So that's why I look in the mirror and say, sometimes it's not them. Too many of their reasons for you to be at fault has to be someone on me. So that's where I'm at right now in life. But yeah. I'm still with you tight regardless. That's just me. I'm going to get you tight.
Yeah, that whole perspective, right? We gotta talk. I feel like me and you gotta have a whole conversation.
We can't do that. We cannot be that way.
Listen, if you really want to
talk with Nicole once a month.
Listen,
be my bonus.
I was about to tell you. Yeah, Nicole, I was about to tell you. You moved in. You in the neighborhood now, so we pulling up on. We pulling up at the crib all the time now. Like,
we don't have to, because there really is a lot to unpack, especially in what you said. You can't. We gotta change that perspective now.
Because as a black woman,
and they talk about me being a crier.
I just don't show tears. Y'all know that we've been in very intimate crying situations. And everybody will have tears rolling down their eyes, and I'll be like this.
Nah, not the last time we recorded.
Not one tear rolled down my eye.
Nigga, we always cry. Nigga, it's on the recording. Nigga, you caught the last two.
No, I did not. You can ask any of them.
I wish I could see that one.
We're gonna send you the early, Che, make sure Nicole get the early drop of that episode.
I'd be so honest, because like it for men, it's hard to show our vulnerability. Mm-hmm. It's hard to show how we feel. So I've never really asked this or never even went deep down into a conversation. And how is it from a woman's perspective of not getting that emotional creature that you guys are so willing to give to us?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's a great question.
Yeah. And that can be difficult, because we are, you know, a lot of us are emotional creatures, you know, like even when you think you're going to get involved with a guy, like a lot of times girls will say, listen, I'm going to mess with him, but I'm not going to, I don't want a relationship. Like, I don't want to get too deep with him. And when you start to spend a lot of time with a person, or you guys are spending a lot of time on the phone or text or whatever, and you guys are continuously in communication, it's almost like it's hard not to. And as a woman, you know, we are emotional creatures. So we naturally kind of, you know, attach ourselves. But when a guy doesn't open up, you know, a lot of women sometimes look at themselves like, you know, what am I doing wrong? You know, what have I done? Or, you know, why won't he open up to me? A lot of times women, they really bounce that back on themselves. And like you said, it's not them, it's you, but they don't see it that way. You know, they naturally start to look and reflect in a mirror like, dag, you know, what am I not doing? So it causes, you know, miscommunication on top of that can really like lead to a disaster in that type of situation. So I'm thinking with you, when you saying, you know, you walk off and you just want to leave them with something to think about, like, that's not going to help you with, you know, moving forward and moving towards a relationship.
It definitely isn't, but I'll say this, especially, and I could talk for Mouse behalf because we like the same person, but it's going to take that certain person to instill that in us. And I feel like we've gone through so much independency in our life and doing this for ourselves. And he has two kids at a young age. I don't have any kids, but I've been through situations that knew I had to do for my own. If somebody doesn't step into my world and be like, yo, this is how it should be done. This is how it got to be done. If you want this to happen, like, it's just boundaries, and it has to be set in stone, like step by step, but just ways to progress in life. If you're not going, like I tell everybody this all the time, if you're not going to build me, if you're not going to work with me and help me grow, then we're never going to get
it. What are we doing? Yeah, like, what are we
we're
doing?
Never
yeah.
gonna get anywhere. So I feel like that's what I'm not gonna say that's what I'm waiting for or looking for, but that's what I'm just expecting. I see my mother, who's a single mother, do a whole bunch of things on her own without the help mm-hmm. of any man. Different mm-hmm. circumstances, but in my mind, when I grew up around, it's like, yo, if you could do it, and I see my mom doing all this, why do I have to accept mediocre love in my life? Like, I shouldn't yeah. have to do that. And not saying I can't give more, because I definitely can, and I know that now, but I gotta get the same reciprocation that's to the back end. Like, that's yeah. the only way, especially in a black household. Like, I can't yeah, I mean, everything else. In a black household, you're gonna need, there's so many traumas that we don't understand, and we can't even vocally, I can't go to my mother and tell her some things. Just like some women, I can't go and tell them what I went through today. You're just not gonna get it. But that person mm-hmm. that steps in my life that understands and wants to take the time to get to my traumas, then there we go.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right, and to each his own, but you know, we gotta communicate, like, because a lot of times when we don't, things are just taken out of context, you know, and in this day and age, everything is like so instant, you know, we quick to move on. We go right on Instagram or, you know, Snapchat and we're on to the next. So if you really want something to work, you really got to spend time with it. Like anything that you really want to grow, you got to nurture it. And that's really the same thing with a relationship, because y'all are coming from two different places and coming together. She doesn't know, you know, your tics, you don't know hers, but y'all got to grow. And when you are in a long-term relationship, you really, sometimes you got to like compromise in areas that you probably didn't imagine you would have did that before. And that's, if you ask any person who's been together for a very long time, you know, some of those old school, that old school type of love, or some of the relationships that, you know, have made it now, they'll tell you, like, it's a lot of stuff. Sometimes you got to learn how to forgive. Sometimes you got to learn how to, you know, take a back seat. Sometimes you got to learn when to speak up and when to sort of chill. And it really humbles you. You got to be a mature individual to be in a long-term relationship. You really do, because it's a lot when you're dealing with not only your traumas or you're dealing with someone else's traumas. Y'all, you're trying to learn that person, and you don't want to hurt anybody, you know, you don't want to hurt them. And I think that's the biggest thing, when people are genuinely coming together in a relationship, like an authentic relationship, you don't really want to hurt that person. So you got to compromise, you got to communicate. And if something is not right, like, even if you do want to give them some time to think about it, come back later on and address it, because trust me, she ain't forget. You know, it's just going to sit to the back of the brain somewhere. Know. It'll come up later on in another argument, and you don't want that.
I hate that.
Hey, Mouse, when Uncle came downstairs, I swear to God, I didn't know he was going to church today, but we went to motherfucking church today.
We in Greater Allen Cathedral, y'all.
Wings.
let me ask this, because, you know, let me ask you this. I know you know, I'm pretty sure that, you know, the loss of Sean showed you something. You learned a lot about life and things of that nature. But what was the biggest thing that you can remember, you know, acknowledging? You know how sometimes you're in a relationship, you'll be able to look and be like, yo, I do this now, or I say this now. Like, oh, I got it from him, or I got it from her. Like, what was the biggest thing, you know, what was the biggest thing you took away from Sean's life? Like, while y'all were alive, what was the biggest thing he imparted on you?
Wow, that's such a deep question. That's a really good question. Like, one of the things that I can say that I've really taken away from him was just to really be like authentic. Like, he really wasn't very like fake about anything, you know. And you got to really bring your authentic self to everything you do. And that was who he was. Anybody who knew him, if you were to talk to any of his friends that were there that night, or anyone who can say they knew him, they would say, you know, what you see is what you get with him. And he always brought that authentic, they called him S. So he always brought that authentic S, you know, to the conversation, you know, to the party, to the event, whatever it was. And if he, you know, if he liked you, if he loved you, then it was perfect. But, you know, if he didn't, there was no gray area. It was either black or white. So I take away from that, you know, learning that, like, people are going to like you, or they're going to hate you. People are going to talk regardless. You got to learn how to, like, live your true self, your true authentic self in everything you do, like, no matter what. And, you know, whoever, you know, has something else to say, like, forget them. People are going to talk. And mm-hmm. I've seen that myself, even losing Sean, you know, he became, at some people really wanted to uplift his name. And then there were others who were like, oh, well, we heard this, you know, it's like, let me now apply this to that situation. And, you know, I'm going to be my authentic self. I'm going to tell you who the story was of what happened to Sean. I'm going to tell you who the story was of, you know, our family, what happened to our family, what happened to our community, and how there was no justice. And I don't care who doesn't want to hear it. If you don't want to hear it, then hit the unfollow.
I love it here. You really big sis now. Like, you can't get away from us. Like, we gonna hit your line. We gonna be at the crib. You really big sis now. So I hope you can deal with it, because we're here and we're needy.
Yes, indeed.
If you could cook, it really helps us out. You know, all things of that nature. All things. When you agreed to do this, I specifically said to myself, I'm not gonna ask you about that night. So I'm not. I think you've told that story enough, and I think there's enough information out there. And I don't want you to, you know, this conversation was bigger than that. So I don't want to ask you about that. Mm-hmm. I will ask you though. Hold on. Is that me? That's me. I'm sorry, y'all.
Get them out of here.
That's me. My fault. I usually have my FaceTime off. I don't know. I'm sorry. But I do want to ask just very quickly. I did hear that Jason Mitchell is playing Sean Bell in the upcoming film project. How you feel about that? Did they speak to you about that project? Are you hands-on in that project?
No, actually, I heard about that, but I'm not a part of that. I believe that is Sean's father is doing a project, and me and my children are not a part of it. I do want this story like to come out. I want this to be the most amazing thing. So we wish them all the best, but I'm not a part of that. We'll be watching. You know, I am working with another producer named Manny Halley on a different project. That one is in pre-production, and we are working to tell a love story, you know, and tell a story about my children. You know, me and my children together are gonna make this work. But
I swear to God,
it's really about right getting that message out.
I said, that's what we need to hear. That's the story.
And like, I had no idea that. That's what I wanted this to be. I wanted them to audibly hear the love story, right? I think a lot of times, and this is not a shot at anybody. It's not a shot at the culture we're in. It's not one of those. It's just a lot of times, it's just very trauma-latent content we have, right? That's why, like, when we had Raymond Santana on, it was about, you know, more or less his life before, or how he survived. I didn't want to talk about the night. I don't want you to have to relive that. I'm pretty sure there's other spaces that you've already done that on. Nobody wants to do that. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate love. Yeah. And I think the love story, at least from what we've heard these past 30, 40 minutes, that's what we've heard, a love story. So now that you big sis, you kind of got to stay here with us right now while we go through these letters. You cool with that? We got a few listener letters. You might be able to help us. You might be able to help them.
I'm super cool with that.
All right, let's go pay some bills. All right, so Big Sis is here with us. All right, so you're going to help us read these letters, because obviously you got gems inside of gems inside of gems to share.
That's a fact.
So Big Sis is going to cook with us. So, guys, listen, it's very simple. If you want a letter read on air, it's very simple. All you have to do is email guysnextdoor123@gmail.com. In the subject line, put your own fake name, or Cheyenne is going to read what's in front of her.
Nah, I'd be a real asshole if I said
just relax. No, you said your name. You said your real name on this podcast multiple times. Every time somebody say,
"No, I'm not."
Yes, you have. You'd be like, "My name is Cheyenne," but Mouse can't pronounce it, so he says Che.
I say my name is Shay, but you pronounce it Che. I've never said my full name.
Look. This is a house of God.
Yeah, this is a house of God.
Really, when you go to the light, you his kid. So it don't really matter where that other stuff came from.
Exactly.
We're going to talk about the light.
Exactly, Che.
We're going to talk about the...
We're talking about what you do for us.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So we try to make your job easier. So make sure y'all put your own fake name in the subject line so Che can read... she's gonna read what's in front of her, and we're not even gonna help y'all out. Now, if it is a relationship question, doesn't have to be, but if it is a relationship question, make sure you put a picture of yourself and your suitor. So that way I'm keeping it even. We want to help you help us help you. So I don't ever want to be giving fat advice to a skinny person. I never want to give ugly advice to a good looking person. We want to keep the scales balanced here. All right. Che, what do we have on the docket today?
I would just like to say the neighbors have been on their shit. They have not been sending us relationship questions. They've been sending us like something with some depth.
I think high key. I want to say that's a good thing, but it also could be a thing of they realize we give terrible relationship advice. It's just stop asking.
And I'm sure COVID doesn't help, seeing as how relationships are all virtual.
I know everybody is still in them same toxic situations.
Hey, I'm about to say, heard these sneaky links. Niggas is out here getting crazy.
Let's do it, Che. What we got?
Okay, so this one, like I said, it's not really a letter, but it's a very loaded question, and I think it's a good way to just end off this episode because it's heavy. Okay. So the subject of it is called Identifying Love's Differences. Hey, guys. I absolutely love your podcast. My name is Janelle. The question I have for you is not a relationship question. Can you guys break down the difference between actually loving a person for them and only loving someone for what they do? I feel as though a lot of people confuse these two and cannot tell the difference.
Say that one more time.
Yeah. Let's say that one more time.
So the question was, can you guys break down the difference between actually loving a person for them and only loving someone for what they do?
Big sis, we're going to you first because you dropped some gems on me and Ryan earlier. So we come to you first.
Oh man, so she wants to really highlight the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, when you are really loving a person for who they are, it really, you know, you're not really paying attention to that. You know, maybe you're really more concerned about yourself and, you know, being independent, so they say, and what you bring to the table. Loving someone, you know, for who they are is like, I know this person's not perfect, but I'm not perfect either. You know, so we're going to bring this, you know, two imperfect, you know, worlds together and make the best of it. That's really what loving somebody for who they are is. You know, we all have flaws. You know, it may be maybe, you know, personality, maybe you do shut down, you know, when you're going through something and you're human. We all go through things. Like our job sometimes is stressful. Like the family members are stressful. You know, it could be financial. It could be just life in general, what you just encounter, you know, being outside or, you know, talking to someone who was just ignorant. We go through things and we may not have it right there in front of you, but loving someone for who they are is like, listen, I know this person's not perfect, but neither am I. So let's try to make this work. Now, when you're more concerned about someone for what they do, you know, it's like those are, you know, that's more of, you know, I'm setting the status, you know, and I'm not going to mess with this guy unless he makes this amount of money. That's off the gate. If you don't make this amount, don't even hit me up. And that's, mm-hmm. A lot of times when you set that bar, you set that tone as if like that's the number one thing that's important to you. And that's an example.
I think the real question in this is, what is true happiness? Like if is a dollar amount or an occupation, is that what makes you happy? Is that what makes your kids happy?
Yeah.
Yes, it puts food on the table, but the minute he runs out of bread, or the minute he finds a better looking woman in his mind, it could be over for you, or vice versa. The minute she gets a job that pays, she gets more bread than this, she might leave you. So certain things like that. So it's what makes you happy. I feel like true love, when you love somebody for who they truly are, yes, you have your ups and downs, but so do the people who are in it for the wrong reasons. Everybody's going to have their ups and downs, but you know that person truthfully and honestly. You know they wouldn't do you wrong in certain situations, because you fell in love with somebody who naturally cares for you rather than what you bring to the table. Rather than if I have a whole bunch of bread, I'm just putting it in a world of like Instagram. Like I feel like you said, there's older couples back in the day that lasted years and years and years, and there was no social media. And I feel like that's more of a truer love situation. rather than when you have the social media, it's really like what picture you're posting, who's on your page, how much money you showing people, how much jewelry you got. And in that mindset, if that's if that's what you reach after, a man is gonna, just like you DM'd him and you fell in love with what he has, there's 1,000 women in that same line. So the minute you fuck up, he will just look to the same place he found you and find another person, and that ain't gonna last. I mean, you might get a couple of dollars and a couple trips, but if you got money, what is a couple dollars and a couple trips? You can do the same thing for the next person. So it's like, what's your happiness? If happiness is money, cool. If happiness is a real person, then cool.
I think we talked about this, right? And shout out to the God Mouse Jones for speaking on this episodes and episodes ago. I think what she's really getting to is the difference between unconditional love and conditional love. I think conditional meaning, if he's not doing something, if she's not doing something, or if he or she doesn't meet a mark or something that you look towards, you don't feel the same way, or the love dissipates, or you know, there's always something that hinders that true love. But to actually love someone unconditionally, to actually find what Ryan was talking about, that true happiness, I think it is a balance that a lot of people aren't, because of how fast social media is, because we're constantly seeing, oh, if we're not happy here, we can go somewhere else. People don't want to go through this, but the true part of like true happiness and actual love, unconditional love, is that balance of joy and pain. Mm-hmm. You can't have your highest highs of happiness without being able to feel the lows. Like, the highs won't feel the same. If you're constantly happy and all of that stuff, you won't know what happiness is. You'll be stagnant. You have to have your ebbs and flows. You got to have your mountains and valleys. That's what true happiness is, being able to feel the lows and endure them and to be able to enjoy the highs. That's what I think that whole, the difference between loving somebody for who they are, the flaws in who they are, the understanding of what they, of the faults and everything. And then again, understanding the flaws and the faults and all of that, but sticking with them to watch them grow through them, to grow out of them, to build past them, and then enjoy that high. You know, you have to go through, you have to be willing to go through the growing pains, because if you're not growing, you're dying.
That's just
the
crap.
Constant growing pains to be able to go to enjoy an unconditional love.
To add to what you're saying, Max, it's also like when somebody meets somebody, it's like, yo, you changed. You got money, you changed. It's like, you did this, you changed. It's like, that person didn't change. You just didn't take the time to really get to know them. And when you get to know somebody and you go through those certain situations, like if you go through me when I'm broke, I didn't change. This is just the way I am when I'm broke. Just like when I get money, I didn't change. This is the way, when my heart is broke, this is the way I am. If you don't go through those stages with a person on how they are outside of what you know, they're not changing on you. It's just, you just didn't really get to know them through those situations.
Yeah, I think the underlying subtext to that question is the difference between unconditional love and being in love with the potential of somebody, which was a different discussion we were supposed to have.
Right.
That's what the real underlying question
right.
is.
And that's what I was, you know, going to speak about, right? I find it so funny that people who are in love and claim to be so deeply in love with people want to change those same people's flaws. Right? You think about that, right? Think about what I just said. Mm-hmm. I'm so in love with you as Nicole is with Sean, as Mac is with Christina. You are so in love with this person. Why would you change their flaws? Because now you're changing up who they are. When I'm talking about a flaw, I don't mean something that is like detrimental to the relationship. I'm just talking about something you don't like. Mm-hmm. Something that rubs you the wrong way. But what happens when you remove that very integral part of that person is now you have a different person. So was that love real? If you want to change me, who are you really in love with? Are you in love with the potential you want to see me as? Or are you in love with the person that's in front of you? And I think that's the question that is in this letter. And I think this is the question that people are very scared to have to answer. Because if you have to answer that question, you have to be very honest with who? Yourself. You won't be able to lie to yourself. And now you got to sit with that. So now everything is lit. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was gonna say I agree with you, but I think it's a very tricky line to walk. Like, it's a very tricky rope to walk, because I don't think the average person can differentiate a flaw, meaning something just like you mm-hmm. said, something that this is something that the person mm-hmm. is, and something that is detrimental to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Sometimes mm-hmm. a lot of people mm-hmm. mistake in things that are detrimental to relationships as flaws and say like, oh, you know, I have to deal with that because this is how that person is, versus mm-hmm. An actual flaw and you know, mm-hmm. being like, oh no, I have to change this. Like, I don't like the way he chooses food. I can't rock with that. Mm-hmm. The nigga's mouth be open all the time and blah, 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 blah.
Right. Like,
you know, certain things. I think, so it's hard to dictate the difference between those. But I think as you're saying, like, with time and with sitting with mm-hmm. the person and with mm-hmm. understanding the person that you're with versus jumping in a relationship, seeing something that you don't like and saying, no, we got to change that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work like that. It don't work
like if I'm in love with,
learn and yeah, grow with somebody.
Like, if I'm in love with you, I can't imagine changing something about you. I can't. Because I don't want to see that person. I don't know that person. That's not who I'm in love with. I don't want to change it. You get what I'm saying? To me, that's my biggest answer to it. Thank you, listener. Did she have a fake name?
No, her name was Janelle.
Shout out to you. She definitely said Janelle.
She don't need a fake name.
That is her fake name, but she gave us a fake name anyway. But I see the real name.
Oh, wow. Shout out to you, Janelle, for that question. Mm-hmm. Big sis, before you get out of here, there's one last thing you got to do before leaving the crib. And that is drop something on the Get the Drawers playlist. The Get the Drawers playlist is an interactive playlist on all DSP. So you can listen to it on your Tidal, your Apple, your Spotify, and all that. And like, it is what it is. Okay. Like, the drop a record on there that you want to hear when it's groovy time.
When it's groovy time. it's the arm movement for me. Okay.
All right. So you want what? One of my favorites or something?
One of your favorites.
You know what we asked. Don't do that.
Wait, but I have several different it depends on my mood. So I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm a hip hop head too, so I love rap, but I also love R&B. I love 90s R&B. That's my favorite genre.
You're not getting the drawers off to the 50 Cent. That ain't.
You never know.
I can see it transitioning to it if that's on the place, but you're not jumping in the room like Get Rich or Die Try. Like, you're not. The music is not blasting into that.
Yo, 50, pull
off,
pull
off. That's not me, but to each his own. Listen, I'm not going to discriminate on people who like that, but there are definitely
people. He's talking about you. I see it in your eyes. When you walk into the bedroom, it's not loud of 50, Tony Ayo, and Lloyd Banks. And it's not.
You're not going to hear, little mama, show me how you move.
Yeah, like, you're not doing that. Imagine you come home and like, baby, come here, I got something for you. And you come upstairs and say, little mama, show you how to move it. Pretty yet, put your hand on this. Ain't this nigga, it? I don't.
Nigga, hit this move.
You be sick. I'd be tight if my lady pulled me up and some shit. She's sitting here like this. It's not sexy, baby. Like, I'm like, no, man, no.
Listen, I probably would go with some old school, like Tony type of vibes. Yeah, I mean, this, so the catalog there is so heavy, but I probably would. So let me see. Where would I go with this one? Oh man, this is hard. Y'all, you tell me to get ready for this.
Yeah, we saved them. Yeah.
How about this? We'll go around and we'll end on you. We can do that.
All right. Okay, let's do that.
All right, what you got, macaroni? Macachoni?
You know what, I don't know if we have this one on there. I want to throw this on there. I was randomly listening to this a couple of days ago. Cisco, How Can I Love You Tonight?
Woo! Oh, wow. Big simp vibes.
When I know that I have somebody else.
Let's go.
You know that you're not mine.
Let's go.
That's my joy.
Let's go, Simpiana.
Wow.
I'll go. I was gonna say something, but I had another song, but I'll just say that for a later date. But I'm gonna go Sade.
Ooh, what record?
By Your Side.
Ooh, can I get a little sass on?
That's how I'm feeling. That's just real. I woke up like 2 days ago, 3 days ago, and for some reason that was in my head. No, there was nobody laying next to me. I was alone, so it wasn't pertaining to someone.
I don't know about the preferential statement.
I'm telling you, there was nobody there. But it was just in my head. Maybe it was a dream I had or something. And you know, you got those dreams in a song. But when I woke up, I was just like, damn. It might have been about somebody, but nobody was there at the moment. Feel me?
Okay.
Oh, check out one?
Yeah, listen, I am prepared, okay? I'm still practicing. I'm trying to be a podcaster like you guys. I'm trying.
Church.
I am in the instrumental mood, so I'm going to do Tadao Masego.
That's just nasty. Yeah, I'll say this. To go into a room and there's only instrumentals being played is a demon. You are a complete demon. No words.
You know why? Because there's going to be a lot of talk. There's going to be a lot of nasty talking in the room. Okay. And I'm going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to be like, Jordy be like, I want you to talk in the bedroom. I talk all day on a podcast. Leave me alone. I just want to be quiet. Let me get my quiet moan off. But neither here nor there.
Quiet moan off.
I'm going to go. Listen, and this, I don't care. It's my brother. It don't get weird. I'm going Obsession. Mac Wilds, macaroni with the macaroni. Oh, Obsession is a good vibe. It's been,
One of my favorite joints.
Obsession has many bodies on it. Obsession has many bodies on it.
I appreciate that. This is the reason why I did it.
Full circle back to you.
Oh yeah. Wait. So listen, I'm definitely gonna stick with my Tony selection. We're gonna go with Just Me and You. We're gonna go
just
with that.
Boom, boom. I'll never forget that. You know why I love that record so much? It's the first time I ever seen Me Alone. Niggas don't remember. Niggas don't remember Boys in the Hood when she get out the car and Cuba's like, just me and you. Niggas like, boom, boom,
boom. There you go. That's it.
Don't worry about a damn thing.
I mean, just us two.
There you go. Put up, big sis. Hey. Listen, Nicole has been... I can speak for all of us. It's been our pleasure to have you here. We appreciate, you know, you sharing some very intimate moments with us. If you got anything you want us to support, you want the people to support, let us know now so that way we can get behind it 1,000%.
Listen, thank you guys a lot just for, you know, reaching out and having me on. I appreciate you. You guys, there's always something coming up, you know, with everything going on in our world. I try to, you know, get out and help as much as I can, but listen, if y'all stay tuned, follow me on Instagram at Nicole P Bell. Stay tuned. There's always something that you can help with. Right now, I'm just thankful to be here. Y'all have a lot of fun. I appreciate this.
Listen, we that's what we're here for. You know, they think we just a bunch of pretty faces. No, we know what we're doing when we speak you to know. People.
You know.
Yeah. Thank y'all a lot.
And we will, like I said, we'll be in tune if, you know, God forbid, fingers crossed, but anything that happens, you know, please let us know so we could, you know, fix it and, you know, fix our schedules accordingly, make sure we could be there to support.
Definitely. I'll be in contact, guys. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And guys, listen, that's the Guys Next Door episode. Okay, that's what y'all got. Now it's time for y'all to get your things and get the hell on. But before you do, Before you do, go to the patreon.com/ Guys Next Door Pod. Put a little something on the Patreon. You understand me? So you get to see this episode in full. You get to see Nicole got the real good beat on her face. The hair's laid to the side. I can't even see it's the side. Uh-huh. It's a little side part. It's like, hair's very good. You know what I mean?
The movement.
It's stiff wear. Stiff wear. The hair is moving. It's moving. So make sure make sure y'all sign up for that. Make sure y'all put a little snaps on the Petro. Don't be a Hakeem. Don't be a Hakeem Gambler. Don't be a Kimmy Gibbler. Put some money. Don't be a Jason Pitts. Put some money in our pockets. Y'all get 2 episodes for the price of none. So do that for us. All right. Y'all know how to get in touch with us. Guys Next Door Pod. You know how to send a letter. GuysNextDoor123@gmail.com. Put the picture if it's a relationship question. Because I don't ever want to have to give fat advice to a skinny person or ugly advice to a good looking person. Help us help you help us. And we'll see y'all black asses on Thursday.
Peace.
Uh-huh.
And we are
Guys Next Door.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.